From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. A new book chronicles the lives of former farm workers in Lake Apopka, a central Florida city where large amounts of harmful pesticides were sprayed on workers for decades. The chemicals caused a surge of chronic diseases and harmed local wildlife. Lake Apopka is now protected conservation land, but a new book called Fed Up, The High Costs of Cheap Food, tells the stories of generations of farm workers that survived years of dangerous working conditions. Plus, nowhere else in the world are so many people touched by sinkholes as they are in Florida, according to a new book. Professor and scientist Dr. Robert Brinkman writes that at least one sinkhole forms somewhere in the state, doing some type of property damage every week. We'll talk about the research and ramifications. That's coming up, but first, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Amy Tardiff. In the winter of 2013, a sinkhole opened up below a house in Sefner and swallowed Jeffrey Bush as he was resting in his bed. Though such devastating and rapidly forming sinkholes, which claim lives, are rare, because most form much more slowly, a new book on Florida sinkholes says at least one forms somewhere in the state, doing some type of property damage every week. And it says there are probably dozens and dozens of neighborhoods in Florida built on filled sinkholes. Most form in dry season between March and May, and in wet season, July and August. Florida is also unique as one of the only states in the nation offering sinkhole insurance coverage. Joining us to talk about his new book by phone is author and professor at Hofstra University, Dr. Bob Brinkman. He directs the Sustainability Studies program there. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning.
You're welcome. Brinkman says almost everyone he talks to has a sinkhole story. Do you? You can join the conversation by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. To start, Bob, what is a sinkhole as compared to what is not a sinkhole?
You know, it's funny. People use the term sinkhole for basically any kind of hole that opens up on the surface of the earth. But as a geologist, we tend to define these, the natural forming sinkholes, as depressions that form underneath or on top of soluble rock. As the rock dissolves, it creates a void space underground, and that void eventually will collapse to form a depression on the surface of the earth.
And there are a couple of different kinds. We have a different kind down here in southwest Florida and the Everglades than is the kind that forms north of Lake Okeechobee, right?
Right. The kind that we tend to have north of Lake Okeechobee are the cover sinkholes that form where the limestone is covered by a thin layer of marine sands. And so the rock is not at the surface. In the Everglades, there's some very young limestone that is at the surface where the limestone is dissolving, very shallow depressions at the surface. But the big problems actually occur north of you, north of Lake Okeechobee in the Tampa and Orlando, Ocala, and even up in the Panhandle areas. Those are the main areas where we see the greatest damage in Florida.
Because the Jeffrey Bush incident in Sefner was so publicized and so frightening, can you briefly explain how prevalent such rapidly forming sinkholes are, or do we typically have fair warning?
We generally have fair warning. Generally, sinkholes form as the marine sand on top of the bedrock filters down into that void space. So it's like an hourglass kind of situation, but that hourglass might take dozens and dozens of years to create a depression at the surface very, very slowly. So in most cases, we see subtle settling, some cracked foundations. It's very rare that we get that sudden collapse sinkhole like we saw in Sefner last year.
Are there more these days, or are we just more aware of them?
You know, everybody is wondering that question, and I think it's a valid one. But I always like to go back to one of the major principles of geology, which is uniformitarianism, which means that the present is the key to the past. And if we take a look at Florida, there are hundreds of sinkhole lakes all over the state that formed over the last several thousand years. So when we recognize that we have so many depressions that formed, we have to understand that that's a continuous process that keeps going during our time here on the planet. So with the kinds of depressions that we're seeing forming today certainly were forming in the past. And while human activity might trigger some of these collapses or some of these sinkhole events, odds are they would have formed anyways.
Now, being that you are up at Hofstra, you're not in Florida, what interests you so much about these things?
You know, I was at the University of South Florida for 23 years in Tampa, and I did a lot of research on sinkholes and caves and limestone features in the state. And I'm actually the chairman of the board of the National Cave and Karst Research Institute. And we work on a lot of national sinkhole and cave and karst and groundwater issues around the country. You know, about 10 to 20% of the United States is covered with this kind of landscape. Now, Florida is mainly karst, which is this landscape of limestone terrain. But if you think about what happened in Kentucky with the Corvette Museum recently, and there are some really challenging surface problems in places like Kentucky or Texas and New Mexico, and even up in the north in Pennsylvania, places like Milwaukee, all of these areas have karst issues or karst challenges because of the subsurface conditions.
Can sinkholes be predicted? Like, you know, if you want to build on land that you own or if you're going to buy a house, is there any way to tell if there's some problem underneath?
Sure. People can use geophysical tools. In Florida, we would use ground-penetrating radar. But it's really rarely done because it is a little bit expensive. It costs, you know, anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 for an assessment. And some people just don't want to know what the answer is, too, because we take a risk in building in sinkhole-prone areas, and sometimes we just don't want to know if it's going to be a problem, especially because it's so rare to have serious injury or death from a sinkhole in Florida. Most of the time, it's property damage that we're worried about.
You mentioned before the kind of different kind of sinkholes we have in the Everglades and in our area. It was interesting to learn in your book that cypress domes are cypress trees filling sinkhole lakes. That is
right.
Very cool.
It is very cool. It's part of a natural biological succession of these lakes slowly filling in with sediment and organic matter, and eventually the trees colonize that area, and they look like high points on the across the landscape, but in fact they're depressions.
Are they important to the land in some way?
They are. They're recharge areas for the aquifer systems, and they provide a really unique ecosystem for the state, habitat for all kinds of animals and plants. And they're so unique in Florida that it's one of the few places in the world where we see these kinds of ecosystems emerge.
But yet they are formed on sinkholes, and we were looking around on campus the other day, and there's a cypress dome not far from where I'm sitting. Are they dangerous in any way?
No. Typically, once a sinkhole forms, they're stable. I mean, they can grow with time. I mean, there's a lot of evidence of some of the larger sinkhole lakes expanding. But where you're at, sinkholes are relatively rare in that part of the world. What happens as you head further south out of Tampa is Tampa, Orlando, is that the bedrock where we see the sinkholes forming in Tampa actually dips down below the surface. And what you have in Fort Myers, Naples area, the whole southwest Florida area, is a very thick layer of sediment and very young limestone that is interbedded. And we don't typically see a lot of sinkholes forming in that area. They can happen, but they're very, very rare.
Another surprise was to find out that many of Florida's lakes are sinkholes.
Yes. Yes. Most of those circular lakes we see in Florida are sinkholes, with the exception of Lake Okeechobee. A lot of people think Lake Okeechobee is a sinkhole lake, but it's not. It formed as a sediment was deposited around a big embayment. But most of the other lakes that we see in the state are sinkholes. And if you look at places like Lake County, near Orlando or just north of the Everglades, there's some places where there's more lake than land in some areas. So it's a very active limestone area.
Another active area, Pinellas County, where St. Petersburg is, you call that,
right,
or it's called a sinkhole swarm. What does that mean?
A sinkhole swarm is a place where there are many, many sinkholes forming at one time. And what's interesting is that the sinkholes form in as limestone dissolves. So if you think about water working at underground, slowly dissolving our limestone to create a Swiss cheese-like subsurface, and there are a number of people who have gone diving into some of these cavernous systems, people who have explored and mapped these caves. And what we know about them is that they are forming at a very rapid rate, especially near the coastal systems where freshwater and saltwater meet. And those conditions occur strikingly in parts of Pinellas County. And so there are some neighborhoods that have had numerous sinkholes forming there to cause considerable property damage within particular neighborhoods.
You also say that many sinkholes are now, they're not only lakes, but we turn them into our water retention ponds to help our neighborhoods. Is there a problem with that?
Yes, there is. You know, what's interesting is we no longer allow people to utilize sinkholes for that purpose. However, in the past, sinkholes were logical places to go ahead and put stormwater. But what we know about sinkholes is that they are directly linked to the aquifer systems that we all rely on for drinking water. So if we're putting stormwater that drains off of roadways and off of parking lots, that could go directly into our drinking water because the aquifer that supplies our drinking water is so interconnected in these cavernous systems, it just takes a few moments for that material to make its way into our well water. So we have to be careful now to try to avoid putting stormwater into those water retention ponds that are linked with sinkholes, and that's why we no longer allow that.
I guess the same problem would occur with all of those lakes, and you mentioned in your book that a lot of people throw garbage and other who knows what into dry sinkholes, and that
it's so interesting. I've traveled all over the country and looked at sinkhole issues, and one of the things you see often is that sinkholes are because they're such low areas in the landscape, they're one of the first places that people think of for dumping garbage. And you see that a number of organizations have worked very hard over the last several decades to try to clean these areas up. You know, the cave community is very active around the country, volunteer cave groups called grottos. And they're part of the National Speleological Society and these volunteers go out and try to do cleanups of sinkholes and caves to try to reduce the problem with pollution and litter in these areas to try to protect our groundwater systems.
We're talking to Dr. Bob Brinkman of Hofstra University, who's out with a new book on Florida sinkholes. Have you ever encountered one? Well, join our conversation or ask him a question. The number's 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. What have people done to cause sinkholes?
Ah, great question.
Because it's not only natural, is it?
No. Like I said earlier, this